Acts chapter 1.
We're going to start reading in verse 6. It says, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. You know, tonight I want to talk to you just, I got like a 5-minute message, right? Really fast, in and out. Tonight I want to talk to you about the biggest business that, the careers I know. I know we are a church that stresses or teaches or talks a lot about missions, about preaching the gospel, but this is a business. I mean, it says over there in Luke chapter 2, Jesus did call it a business. He was about his Father's business. This is something that God calls a business. But you're not going to find it in any Fortune 500 list. You're not going to find this on Ford. They're not going to talk about this business. We're going to be talking about this business this week. But you know what? There's so many companies out there. There's so many things that, man, if you got in on, let's say, Apple, whenever it started, you know, 40 years ago, whatever it is, man, you would be a rich guy right now. You know, if you got into some of these companies that are just huge right now, you'd be a very wealthy person. But you didn't do it, right? You didn't jump in. You didn't take advantage of it. Or maybe you didn't know about it. But, I mean, seriously, there's so many people who got into stuff or invested their money in these companies, and they are rich right now. Their families are rich. They got an abundance of not only power, but of wealth, because they made a wise decision. And you know what? We are talking about a business this week that's a very wise business. A business that's going to last through COVID. And you know, we're going to hear this week, we're going to hear about things that God's doing, not only in Poland, but in Puebla. I mean, just so many things, and the time that you invested hasn't been a bad investment. You are going to see the fruit of everything you've done for the gospel. And I know we keep missing this, and we got verses, and we can show you, I mean, Christ even said that we need to invest, we need to put our time and our money in what's going to be forever. And we're gonna get there one day. I mean, this thing is going to be wrapped up one day. This thing is going to be, I mean, God's going to come down the same way he went up. And he's going to come down, and he's going to get his church, and that's it. No more fighting sin, no more tears, no more sorrows, no more late nights here with mission conference, no more working, no more knocking on doors, no more doing any of that. One day it's going to happen. But until that day comes, man, we got to get in this business. And I mean, you talk to somebody, you know, the oldest things, right? You talk about, you know, you can talk to Brother Lindo and everything his life that he's gotten saved and everything he's done for Christ. And I mean, the guy's happy, the guy is satisfied, you know, to a certain extent, because he's still doing stuff. He's still working at his capacity, but he's still working. Right? He's still serving Christ. Why? Because it matters. This is what matters. And you know, the question that I want to leave you all is it such a good business opportunity? Is it such an awesome investment? If we're gonna get back if we're gonna get back reward that we can't possibly describe, because God is a reward. God is gonna pay. I don't know exactly what all that is gonna entail, but listen to me. Everything that you've done in Christ, the life you've spent, and some of us have spent our lives. We spent our lives for the gospel, but that's not in vain. And if this is such a huge opportunity, then why aren't we all 100% sold out? Why isn't every Christian involved in doing the gospel? You know, we know why Christ came. It says over there in Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." This is the biggest business that's ever been. And yet not everybody's involved. Not every believer is sold out. Not every believer is convinced. And you know, there's probably some good reasons why. You know, maybe you're not involved because you're a little scared. There's a little fear factor here, you know? And I'm not talking, it's really easy to give money. I mean, you know, relatively speaking, right? You just drop in the box, right? That you're not going to lose faith. You're not going to, it's not something, I mean, no one's putting a gun to your head, right? As you walk out, no one's saying, empty out your wallet and put it in that box. So there's no fear in giving money. But I'm talking about actually being sold out and actually giving out the gospel. There's some fear in it. You know, you're looking at a person tonight who started so much to the church. You know what? See, this day, if I'm sitting in church, or if I'm in a Bible study and somebody calls on me to read, I get thrown back to third grade. You know, I just climb up. I just, there's something, I don't know, I can't explain it. But yet, I just walk, that's crazy. You know, I mean, you know, when God saved me, I really do. Every time I get up, every time, not so much with you guys look pretty good. But sometimes in different areas where I'm at, you know, a lot of things come to play. My mind starts racing. I get scared. Especially when police show up. When people come out with sticks, you know, hoses and machetes and you know, and then you know, you have a, you know, co-worker that tells them what time we're going to show up the next day. I'm a little scared sometimes. Maybe that's why you don't want to jump into this business, because there's fear involved. Or it could be just kind of failure. Hey man, I'm scared of failing. I don't want to go to another city and work by myself. I'm tired of these guys and I'm going to go and do my own work. You big dummy. What are you talking about? Man, this work is hard. I don't want to fail. I don't want to give is wrong counsel. I need people around me. I need support. You know, failure is something that's in the back of our head. It should be. And then another thing is our flesh, right? Maybe the reason why you're not 100% sold out and truly in this business is because you think you're just more important. Hey man, why do I gotta be there every night listening to these long-winded speeches? Why do I gotta look at their little forms they put together? Because you're more important, right? Get done. After I get done working all day and go downtown and preach.
You're more important, right? Look, we understand that. We understand the tiredness, and we understand the busyness, and we understand that God understands. He doesn't ask you. He's not begging. He's not a beggar. You read over there where he's talking to Peter and Andrew. And he's talking to them. And he says, they're casting their nets. And he tells them, follow me. The crazy thing about it, not only do they say, they're actually working, they're doing something, they're not bums, they're sitting in the park, and they're like, okay, we have nothing else to do. They're actually working. That was their business. And he says, guess what? I got a better proposition for you.
Amen.
I got a better business for you. Come and follow me. And they left their nets and they followed him. That's crazy. You know, right here, the verses we read, you know, they're asking him, man, when is all this going to happen, Lord? You know, when are you going to come back? And, you know, he basically says it's none of your business. You know, there's some things that you don't need to worry about. But you know what I'm going to tell you? You're going to receive power. You shall receive power. I'm going to tell you that. You shall be witnesses. I'll tell you that. And not only, witnesses, but it's going to start in Jerusalem, and it's going to go to the uttermost part of the world.
Hey.
You know what? He didn't tell them how it was going to happen. He didn't say what everything they were going to be going through. I mean, that would have been my question. You know, is it going to be easy? You know, are we going to have a comfortable life, Lord? I mean, I'm thinking all these things, right? But not them. And he didn't give, you know, all the details. He said, look, here's the plan, and this is what I want to accomplish, and don't worry about anything in the middle. Y'all, we can hear. You know, and I was thinking, how can we get everybody? How can we get everybody on board into doing something? Into reaching into spreading the gospel, whether it be, you know, supporting missions and you know, reaching people in your on your street, reaching your family, you know, look at all the, this is a sad situation we're looking at right now this evening. Look at all the empty chairs. You guys spent good money for these comfortable chairs. We should fill these chairs. Huh? Wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't that be nice if we had to have an annex to this place, or maybe a tent outside, you know, or maybe a couple services a day? That'd be really nice. You know, not to make a name for ourselves, but to do more.
Yeah.
For this business to be even better. Yeah. I started thinking, what we need for everybody to get involved, if for everybody to be 100% sold out, we need a conviction. We need to be convinced. Yes. You know, a conviction is a strong opinion. A conviction is to be ensured, a compelling admission of truth. Do you have that conviction? Man, I dare to say, if you're not doing anything to spread the gospel, and I'm not talking about the very easiest thing that I consider is dropping money in a box. I'm talking about living your life in such a way that Christ can be seen through you.
Amen.
Because listen to me, if you are a lousy Christian and then you decide to show up tomorrow to work and say, hey, can you come to church? They'd be like, what church are you going to? You know, I know you. I know how you talk. I know how you dress. I've seen you do things and you're inviting me to church. Give me a break. Maybe when you start doing some things in our life, as we make that decision to be 100% sold out for Christ. But you have to be convinced about it. If you're not convinced about it, there's going to be no changes. If you're not truly convinced that this is absolutely the best business that you can possibly be a part of,
amen,
you'll never do it. Now, and I think in this passage, we have a few things that we can see. We need to be convinced. No more excuses. But the reason why you and I can fulfill this calling of taking the gospel to everybody, starting in your Jerusalem, starting in your area, starting in your immediate vicinity, is because we have the Holy Spirit. God gave us that. God gave it. He said in verse 8, and after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 4:29, look at this, Acts 4:29. Go there real quick. Acts 4, verse 29. Look what it says here. And now the Lord, behold that threatenings, and granted to you thy servants, that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, the Spirit that we have, the Holy Spirit, that is what equips us to go out and preach the gospel.
Amen.
God has given us that promise. We have that promise of the Holy Spirit. We can go out also. We need to be convinced not only does God live in us, and we can go out with all assurance. I mean, he says it. It's incredible. But he even says in the gospel about when talking to the disciples and saying, man, when you get before the judges and you get put in these situations, don't even worry about what you're going to say. I'll give you the words. Now, I don't believe it's like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, fill me. No, I think we need to be in the Word. I think we need to be studying the Word. I think we need to be walking with Christ. If we desire that boldness that the Holy Spirit gives us, if we desire, to be bold in our witness, we need to be with Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it says over there earlier in the same chapter? In chapter 4, when they got Peter and they got him, they told him, look, you can't be preaching in his name. And they tell him, man, you guys need a judge. They noticed something different. They said that they noticed that these people had been with Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, they were equipped that boldness that the Holy Spirit comes by prayer. I think we need to pray to be more bold. I think two things that are very important that we need to understand. That Holy Spirit that we have, and that boldness that comes with that Holy Spirit is because we're walking very close to Christ. And we're talking to Him and we're asking Him, oh God, take this fear away. I'm telling you, I've been in situations where I'm thinking, I'm not going to be able to do this. No. I like that verse. course, when I read those verses about, you know, shaking the dust off your feet, yeah, I like those. Let's run. No, they're not worthy, Lord. Yeah, it says right here they did. Let's go to the next town. No, you know what? You know what I was taught when I went down to Mexico? You can't run. You can't run. Did God call you to preach? You gotta preach. Did God call you to witness? You gotta witness. You can't, the first time you back down, the first time you run, it's gonna get easier and easier and easier, and by the time you know it, you're always running. No, you know, it's tough. You're going to be confronted with different situations in your life, but don't forget to be convinced that Holy Spirit that we have in us because we're saved is guiding us through everything.
Amen.
You know, another thing that we see there in verse 8, it says, you shall be witnesses. You know, we have His authority. Not only do we have the power in us to witness, to go out and spread the gospel. It's not our work. We're not doing the saving. All we're doing is presenting the gospel. But we have His authority. God told us to do it. You know, it says over there in Matthew 4:19, I'm sorry, it says, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. In 5:13 of Matthew, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. You don't think that's what God calls you and I? We're the salt. You know, salt is very good. I like salt. You know, it's incredible. You wanna make a perfect steak? All you need is a scoop of salt. That's crazy. I mean, all these huge chefs and everything, you know, divulging their secrets, you know, about how to. It's. I'm thinking, okay, they have this special, you know, spice from China or somewhere, you know, and they're going to tell us what it is. No, salt and pepper, and you just throw it in the oven, and you know, this amount of minutes, and you turn it, you know, no more than twice, and you got a perfect steak, and it works. Salt is good.
Amen.
And God says, you are my salt. You are the flavor of this world. We can go out and say, you know what? I have something that's going to taste good. And it might start off a little bitter. But it's going to end up really good. It says here in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. It says in Luke 14:23, and the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come.
Come in.
That my house may be filled. Amen. You know what God wants? He wants to fill the house up.
Amen.
That's what God wants.
Yeah.
And if God wants to fill His house, then I think we ought to do it.
Amen.
The only way we're going to do it is if we're 100% sold out.
Yeah.
It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost a little bit of time. You know what? It might, if you're like me, you have to force yourself sometimes. You know, look, you might wake up in the morning and say, oh, I get to read my Bible and my devotions, and you're like all bubbly. You know, I'm not that way. I tell the Lord, I'm going to read 10 pages. 10 pages I'm going to read. Because if I don't do that, I won't do it. I don't just actually get up and say, oh, I can read the Bible. I'm not that way. Maybe you are. And you know what? Felicidades. But once I start reading, once I get into it, well then, yeah, sometimes I get something, man, this is good, and I can hum and I can sing. I said, man, that was really good. I'm glad I opened up the Bible. It might be that you can't work up the gumption to pass out a track. Well, you know what? Maybe you ought to decide to get two tracks and say, today, I'm going to give out these two tracks. Put a number on it. You know, it might get easier. You might start liking it. You know, just do it. And I know something. I'm not a people person. I know all the excuses. I run them through my head now. But if you start with excuses, you'll never do it.
That's true.
You know, We have his authority. It says John 17, 18, it says, and thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. God sent Jesus into the world, and he says, you know what? Now I'm sending you. You didn't take that person.
Amen.
Amen.
And I know the thoughts around our head. Who am I? Well, let me answer that for you. You're less than zero. You know, let's just get that out of here. Alright? You're nobody. Right? You know, if you pass away tonight, Ambrosio, CNN ain't gonna be talking about you. I'm sorry. Alright? Fox News ain't gonna be talking about me either. Okay? We're a bunch of nobodies. In this world. But you know what, God? God says, I know you.
Amen.
So much so that he says, I know the numbers of the hair. You like that verse? Oh man, I'm in the shower and I see one fall out. Woo! Man, they're changing that number right now. God knows everything about you. He says, you know what? I want to send you. I'm nobody. I know that, you dummy. I'm going to send you anyways. We have his authority. We have God's spirit. We have his authority. We can go out and say, I'm going to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a tract in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe on him. Do it with the authority of God.
Amen.
Amen.
And you know what? And you better get on board that with that thought at least pretty quick, because things are probably going to start getting pretty rough.
Yeah. Amen.
Another thing, we have an accountability. Look what it says there in verse 11. We didn't read that verse, but I think it teaches it. Verse 11, it says, so Jesus goes up. Jesus goes up and they're looking up into the sky, and you and I be doing the same thing. Wow. That's what they're doing. You know, they just keep going and going and going. And so the angels show up, you know, they show up, they say, hey, step out of it. Right? Just quit looking up in the air. And he says, this same Jesus shall so come. That's a promise. You can write that down. Now you ask me, when's he coming? I got no idea. Right? Who does? Somebody tells you when Christ is coming, they're lying.
Yeah.
Right? But because we have no idea when he comes or when he's gonna come, we get into that or we fall into that little trap that we deceive ourselves and say, mañana. Right? I'll do it tomorrow. Right? I still got some time. Maybe later. You know what? Before it's too long, you're going to be too old to do something.
Yeah. Amen.
You wait too long, you might get into a lot of trouble and you can't do anything. You might get so far and so deep in sin that you're going to have a very hard trouble getting out
Amen.
Of the hole you put yourself in
Amen.
And anybody to believe you. Look, the gospel, giving out the gospel is hard enough. Why do you have to put other obstacles?
Amen.
We have his Holy Spirit. We have his authority. There's an accountability. God is going to hold us accountable what we do. It says over there in Romans 14:10, it says, the second part, it says, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Can you imagine that? Just think about that. Just think about Christ coming back, and you gotta stand before him and give an account of what you didn't do. Mm-hmm. Oh, we'll be real happy to tell what we did do. Right? But what about all the opportunities that we swapped?
Yes.
It says over there, 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear, all of us, it says, before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to the gift done, whether it be a good or bad. The last thing that I think it talks about here in verse 8. It says, talking about being witnesses. We need to have a conviction and be convinced that we can do it because we have his spirit, because we have his authority, because one day we're going to give an account. And the fourth thing, we need to have compassion. It says the uttermost. You know, it's one thing to give the gospel to your family. Right? Well, they love you. Right? Your kids love you. Your spouse loves you. You know, your mom and dad love you. So you're giving the gospel to them and that's all good. What about the people that don't love you? What about the people that want to do badly because of what you tell them? You know, the gospel is offensive. And believe me, I don't try to make it more offensive. I'm not one of these guys that get, I used to be when I was young and dumb. Right? I used to, I really get them. No. Look, the gospel don't need your help. The gospel is offensive. Right? I'm standing out there and I'm saying, you know what? You're wrong and God is right. And that's offensive. Okay? I don't even add to that. But you know what? This is what we're called to do. We need to have a little bit of compassion. Right? The Bible says in Matthew 9:36, talking about Jesus, he says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know, you go out anywhere, you go out to the mall, you go out downtown. We saw some pictures up here of all those people as the brothers were preaching in the different plazas. You know, most of those people are lost and dying and going to hell. Does that not affect you? Did that stop being something real to you? And it happens. It happens to all of us, right? Not one of us can say, yeah, man, that's me. I feel compassion all the time. No, you don't.
Amen.
And sometimes the compassion we feel it doesn't move us to do anything.
Right.
Haven't you seen a dog get hit on the road and he's limping and you go, oh, but it's sinkhole. And you keep going. Right? If you feel bad, too bad, you know, he got hit. But you don't get out of your car. You don't go help out that dog. So we understand what compassion, we understand what it feels when we see, you know, something that we should be helping out. This is more important than some little dog getting hit.
Yeah.
When a dog dies, he dies. That's it. It's over. You know, you might tell your kids that he's waiting for you up there in heaven, you know, whatever. You know? But that's it, it's over. Animals are gone. But not a person. That soul will live on eternity. Will he live with Christ, or with you, or will he live for an eternal time in heaven? You know, if you're lost in it, if you don't have Christ, and if you don't understand what I'm talking about, we're open for business.
Amen.
This place is open for business. God is open for business. You need to confess your sins. You need to put your faith completely in Christ. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sins, and you need to get in Christ. But you know, my Christian friend, we are Christ witnesses. We have no excuse. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship. It says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. One more verse, and we're done. My 5-minute message is done. Chapter 6. You know, we have no excuses. Every one of us should be 100% sold out.
Amen.
For Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Don't compare yourself to the guy next to you.
Amen.
Don't compare yourself to Brother Lindo. You know, I think Brother Lindo was just the right man to start this thing going. You know? I mean, I've been doing this 21 years and I haven't been able to, you know, do that much. No, I need Bill. I need other people. Don't be comparing yourself to other people. There's a lot of people. You're not going to, probably never, none of us are going to be a Billy Graham. That's probably not going to happen. You're not probably going to preach to 1,000. You're probably not going to be a Peter where you can preach and 5,000 people get saved. Man, that's a good day. Until they start hiring and build all the problems. But you know what? Stop comparing that and just say, God, I want to be sold out. Give me something.
Yeah.
I want to do something. We have no more excuses. We have the power in the Holy Spirit. We have His authority. We are accountable to the Savior. It might be you might lack a little bit of compassion. And may God give us that compassion.
Yes.
It says here in Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Are you involved in the biggest business this world has ever seen it?
Right.
And if not, why not?
Amen. Amen.